First, over the last four decades or so in the United States, wages have been largely stagnant. According to a report last year from the Brookings Institution and the Hamilton Project, wages between 1973 and 2017 only rose about 10% when you adjust for inflation. Economists have tried to find the culprit behind these sluggish wages. Possible causes include the decline of organized labor, automation of workplaces, and outsourcing of jobs. New research from labor economists found that the issue could have more to do with a shrinking number of employers in many communities and job fields and the bargaining power that gives to those employers. Ioana Marinescu is an economist and assistant professor at the University of Pennsylvania School of Social Policy and Practice. She's a co-author of that study. Ioana, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about this study from you and your colleagues. What did you set out to try to find out?
So look, the idea is this, you know, we all know that wages tend to be higher when the economy is doing well and there's plenty of jobs around. And that's what you all know about. But we're adding a new twist to it, which is, you know, maybe there's a lot of jobs, but suppose that all retail jobs are always Amazon. Well, it's great that there's a lot of jobs, you know, but if they're always Amazon, Amazon is not going to compete with itself and raise wages to go after workers. And so the basic idea we're looking at is whether when there are fewer employers, even for the given number of jobs, wages are lower. And in fact, that's exactly what we find.
Yeah, this introduced a concept to me. We've all probably heard of monopoly, you know, the idea of a business
exactly.
dominating a consumer market, say, or the board game for that matter. There's this thing called monopsony that is what you're talking about. What does monopsony mean?
That's exactly right. So this is a term coined by female economist Joan Robinson in the 30s, and it means that there's only one employer in town or in a given field. And so, you know, the classic example is a company town with a mine. But nowadays, for example, hypothetically, imagine Amazon were the only retailer, then Amazon would have a monopsony for retail workers. So that's what monopsony means, if you're the only employer for a certain type of work in a certain area.
So in this study, you set out and you looked at pretty much the whole country, and you took data, I think, from online job postings and things like that, and tried to figure out how concentrated different communities were, right? First, how did you try to sort this out?
So, you know, we were so lucky to be able to work with such an amazing trove of data from Burning Glass Technologies. This company collects data on online job postings, and so we were able to look across the whole country in all different kinds of jobs. And what we found was pretty astounding, which is that on average, a community in the U.S. only has about 2.5 employers for a specific type of job, which would be something like a customer service representative, for example. So, you know, on average across the country, only 2.5 employers are vying for workers in a particular, again, occupation and place. So that's really little. Now, importantly, you know, let's be clear, it's much worse in smaller places. In very big cities like New York, it's mostly not a problem. But in many, many, many places across the country, there are very few employers. And in fact, we found that, you know, there's a term that is legal. You know, they have a threshold for high concentration, meaning that there's really little competition. And we found that more than half of the labor market in the countries are highly concentrated.
And looking at a map, you mentioned bigger cities, maybe this isn't such a problem. There's a bigger diversity of employers. But if I look at northern Wisconsin, there are fewer options of employment, a lot of smaller communities. So if you're in healthcare and there's only one, you know, hospital healthcare network, you have exactly one job choice. Is that the sort of thing you're finding?
That's exactly right. And we showed that this situation is extremely common in the country. And again, it's more than half of the markets that are highly concentrated, meaning that there are very few employers in that specific market.
And so talk about how that then can drive lower wages or stagnant wages.
Exactly. So let's talk about that. So, you know, what you have to think about in your head is that, well, if I'm the only employer out here, well, then, you know, basically workers have to work for me or either not work or go work in another job that is less fit for their skills, where they're likely going to get paid less. And so I'm going to take advantage of my position as the sole employer, you know, one of a few, pay workers less. And even if I'm not the only one, let's say we're two of them, you know, there are lots of reasons why the two employers are maybe not the same. Maybe, for example, one of the two is closer to home for some workers. So the employer, given that workers don't have many opportunities, can more easily pay the worker less, again, in order to take advantage of the fact that they don't need to compete with other employers to attract workers. And the more employers are out there, different kinds of employers out there competing for workers, and you see it's kind of like a bidding war, right? Like they'll say, hey, I'll pay you this much. And then the neighboring employer will say, well, come to me, I'll pay you more. It's kind of, you have to imagine it's the same situation that you're having in a market where you're trying to buy some goods and all the sellers are shouting, my good is cheaper, my good is cheaper. Well, for the labor market, it's a little bit similar, but it's the opposite. You know, if there's lots of employers, everyone's going to be shouting, come at my place, I pay more, I pay more. Right? And if there's not many of them, oh, no, then they can sit down and relax and pay less, right?
Ioana Marinescu is with us from the University of Pennsylvania. She's the co-author of a study on stagnant wages in the United States. In the study, they find that a lack of competition among employers in many places and many lines of work may be a big factor in keeping wages down in the United States. And Ioana, outside of the study, you've also talked elsewhere about something that might add to the problem. Businesses having non-compete clauses, saying if you're my employee and you want to leave, you can't go and work for a competitor. Also, non-poaching agreements. So if I have a franchise of a fast food restaurant and somebody else has one across town, we might have an agreement not to compete with each other for the same employees. Does this add to this monopsony problem, this lack of competition among employers?
Absolutely, it does. And actually, this is very important for policy in terms of, you know, legal enforcement. So I want to just get it this straight for our listeners that, you know, in this country, when two companies want to merge, they go for an antitrust review, or they might go for antitrust review, and then the Federal Trade Commission and Department of Justice might say, no, you can't merge because you're going to create monopoly power in the market. And so this, we are saying, is going to, you know, potentially create problems in the labor market. And where does this anti-poaching agreement, for example, come in? Well, if two employers, like, you know, there was a famous case for software engineers where Google and Apple agreed not to hire each other's engineers. Well, if you and I have a no-poaching agreement and then we merge, well, even without merging, we're already colluding and trying to keep down wages and prevent, you know, competition for employees. If we merge, well, that'd be even easier. We don't even need a no-poaching agreement. We're the same company. Yoo-hoo! So, basically, no-poaching agreements reduce competition even more, and the fact that two companies engage in a no-poaching agreement is already good evidence to say that these companies shouldn't be merging, because allowing them to merge will radically decrease competition for workers in the labor market.
Do you see policy solutions to, let's start with these no-poaching agreements and non-compete clauses. Are there people trying to pass laws to make these harder to enforce?
So no-poaching agreements are illegal. That doesn't mean employers don't try, but they are illegal, and when they are discovered, employers get sued for them. Non-compete clauses are legal, but there are some restrictions, and, you know, right now there's a rethinking about how, you know, restricted this should be, and in particular that it should be clearer that this is only allowable for highly skilled workers who, in fact, you know, might reveal some trade secrets, and therefore it might make sense to have a non-compete clause. But, you know, there's been non-compete clauses for sandwich makers at Jimmy John's, and it seems that in that case there isn't really any trade secret that is trying to be protected here, but instead it's a ploy for employers to dissuade workers from looking for other better-paying jobs elsewhere. And so that's where we need a clearer, you know, boundary of enforcement in terms of non-compete. What is a legitimate non-compete and what is not a legitimate non-compete? And there's action right now in terms of trying to think about how to redefine what a legitimate non-compete is. And it's also different in different states. So we can learn also a lot from looking at the variation across different U.S. states.
And then with the wider issue that was the focus of your study, I mean, it seems like the tendency is we're going to have companies merging into bigger companies or big companies driving smaller companies out of business. Is this trend to fewer employers who have more bargaining power over their employees, is anything going to change that?
So you know, it's obviously you're fighting against the tide because there's been a huge rise in mergers and acquisitions in the past 20, 30 years, and this has been accompanied by a huge rise in profits. And we're thinking that this probably contributed right to the stagnation of wages. What can we do? Well, one thing, simple thing we can do right now is to start enforcing antitrust when it comes to labor market competition. I wrote a law review paper with my law professor colleague, Herb Hovenkamp, who's also at the University of Pennsylvania, and we argued that regulators have all the tools in their toolkit to stop mergers that will create anti-competitive effects in the labor market. And in our paper, we lay out exactly how they're going to do that. And so we're very much hoping that, you know, judges and regulators will take this on and we'll see cases of companies whose mergers are stopped because it is clear that this is going to create anti-competitive effects in the labor market. So that's a start. But that's something that can be done immediately. It's just a matter of the regulators and the judges availing themselves of a legal framework that essentially is already there. And we just need to pay attention to this issue. And it's pretty straightforward. There isn't much at all that needs to change.
Joanna, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be there.
Joanna Marinescu is an economist and an assistant professor at the University of Pennsylvania School of Social Policy and Practice. She joined us to talk about research she's co-authored looking at competition in job markets and why wage growth has been slow in recent years. Her colleagues make the case that in many places, in many job sectors, there are too few employers giving them more bargaining power. That's keeping wages, they say, down around the country.